Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. Dr. Robin Titus, the state Senate minority leader, here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room of the Nevada Builders Alliance. Coverage of the 2025 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. NV Energy, proudly serving Nevada, providing electricity to 2.4 million electric customers. The Retail Association of Nevada, looking out for business. And by Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
Welcome to Story County, where history meets innovation, and a pioneering spirit continues to shape our future. At the heart of the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, we power the future with global leaders in technology and manufacturing, driving progress that reaches far beyond our county lines. From advanced manufacturing to tech innovation, our industries are creating thousands of quality careers, fueling a vibrant economy that benefits every Nevadan. But it's more than just growth. Our community is our foundation, supporting families, empowering local initiatives, and creating a place where everyone belongs. Be part of a legacy built on bold ideas and boundless possibilities. Join us in building a brighter future right here in Story County. Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
Your good times are at Tamarack Casino during the $150,000 Denim and Diamonds giveaways, with cash and free play drawings every Thursday and Saturday, and $30,000 in grand finale giveaways Saturday, May 31st, including a top prize of $20,000 guaranteed. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Chan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Chan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're delighted to welcome back to the program Dr. Robin Titus. She is the Senate Minority Leader from District 17. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Well, good morning, Sam. A lovely windy day in Northern Nevada.
Oh, my goodness. For anybody driving this particular morning, which is May 12th, the winds were horrendous coming over the pass, but that's okay. We're here safely. Let's start out with what at this point are your priorities? I mean, is it basically, because you're in the minority, is it you and the assembly leader and the governor are a team?
I hope so. I think we are. We meet for breakfast once a week, the three of us, and have some really true, honest discussions that with nobody else in the room, we can say things and that aren't public. And so we feel free to say what's on our minds and make sure we are on the same page. We're not going to be on the same page for everything, but I think we're on the same page for Nevada.
I guess what's been interesting to watch on the federal government side is a lot of discussion in the media, certainly about potential cuts, but a lot of those cuts haven't actually occurred yet. For example, and you and I talked about this last time you were here, Medicaid. A lot of concern within the medical industry in Nevada about Medicaid cuts, potential Medicaid cuts. Would you be comfortable if all they cut was the expansion of Medicaid?
Right, I learned about that when we did expand Medicaid to begin with. As has, I'm sure somebody said on the show before, 27% of our Nevada budget is federal funds. But then when you start breaking that to see where that goes and what funds are going to be cut, I think the federal government has made it very clear that we're not going to cut services per se. You know, certainly Social Security, certainly Medicaid for children, certainly some of the food funding for our lunch programs, all those things, they're not going to be cut. What will probably cut, maybe cut, is looking at those childless adults that are on Medicaid. And I've said it before, that was the expansion that happened. There are a lot of those folks that are working, and they'll have to look at some other ways to fund that. And it shouldn't be on the back of taxpayers.
Okay, so, you know, obviously, you know, since the last time we spoke, the Economic Forum came in with their numbers. Were you surprised at all with the size of the numbers? Because really out of a huge budget of billions of dollars, that really isn't a huge amount of money.
Oh, as a matter of fact, that's what we kept saying. This guy is not falling, and that really reassured us. We knew it was going to be less. Hey, there was a lot of things that happened in our economy the last cycle, like the Super Bowl, the Formula One racing, all those things that brought a lot of money into Nevada. Our economic forecast had already kind of accounted for those, but we could see the writing on the wall. We weren't going to have that much. And here's what I think is important for your viewers to understand. Nevada's economy grew. What that decrease percent is, it didn't grow what they predicted it would grow. So it still grew from the December forecast to the May forecast. Hey, maybe it was less than a percent, but it grew. What the numbers show were maybe 160 million less than out of a billions, you know, what our total bill is, 7.9 billion or even more. I don't know what that actual figure is, but it still grew. It was just a percent less. So it's our job to make sure we live within our means. And so we have to make sure that we don't spend more than what we have.
And one of the things, and you know, and I'm not blaming the media because they need to sell newspapers, they need to get clicks, etc. But the reality is that when you have the Super Bowl and the draft and all the other things, and like you said, Formula One, those artificially bump up the numbers. You also had a loss in baccarat, which I always joke about on this program, which is basing a budget on baccarat is a very dangerous thing. And so it really was not terrible. We had record month after month after month with gaming win. You know, every once in a while, it has to go backwards. What goes up must
or
go down.
It has to stabilize, right? We have to reset it. We have a lot of competition throughout the world for gaming. In our neighboring states, we have competition. And so I think Nevada's done a good job trying to diversify, bring in other companies, and we need to really focus on that, making sure that we have companies that want to come here, that we make a good economic environment for them and not base it all on gaming. Price of gold is up. That's a good thing for Nevada.
Yes, to say the least. Although it'll be interesting. I plan to have the head of the Mining Association come on and talk about this. But it really doesn't affect long-term what the mining industry does in Nevada in terms of the price of gold, because they price in when it goes up. Mm-hmm. They also price in when it goes down. Mm-hmm. And they will mine the most expensive things when the price of gold is high, mm-hmm. and then go back to the easier stuff when it mm-hmm. gets low. So you're talking about diversification, again, going back to another issue that continues on, which is the two film bills, one in the Assembly and one in the Senate. The Deputy Majority Leader said on the program that both bills will not go through. So it's going to be one or the other. Do you see either of them going through at this point in time?
Well, I think...
How do you justify it?
So for me, it's a hard no on either of those bills.
Because
we can't afford those, right? If you look at we already had a film tax credit, and each year we've been putting about $10 million. In that current balance is about $50 million. It's already sitting there for the film industry. At any one time, GOED could obligate that, and that would come off the top of our general fund. So we don't even have... You know, we'd hate to have that money spent all at one time. And now they're asking for over $200 million more. So my feeling is, number one, it's not affordable. Number one, it's not a good investment. We look at what we do. Can we get a return on our investment? Any good investor wouldn't want to lose money. So right now, the current math, when we reach out, say, okay, here, we're going to do this. What will it really bring back? It's about 50 cents on the dollar. I can't justify spending taxpayers' dollars on something that's only going to bring us back 50 cents after every dollar we spend. Nobody would do that in their right mind. So I think it's going to have to be some big changes. I think the governor has not been a hard no on it, but we'll see what he feels. At the end of the day, I'm a hard no on both of them.
Do you think, first of all, do you think it's just going to be a push to the next session? Because obviously they tried to do this last session. It didn't work. This session with the potential budget cuts that are obviously going to come, it's hard to make that sale now. But the other thing is that the two groups, I don't see how they can come together. One is a Sumlin-based developer. The other one is a Harry Reid Park-based developer. There's no way for those two to come together and meet somewhere else.
Well,
I don't see it.
Politics makes for interesting bedfellows, right? And money does too sometimes. And so having good negotiation, what's best for Nevada, I would suggest that they do start speaking to each other. Because I don't see both bills going. I don't see either bill going. However, again, I never say never in that building. If
it's where nothing dies forever.
Nothing, and it truly doesn't until Cindy die. And we'll see what they negotiate. I think right now it just doesn't make sense the way they are written. Who owns the risk? You know, Nevada's taxpayers shouldn't have their whole risk in those kind of things. And nor should Clark County residents and or visitors. I mean, I think we really have to look at those numbers. Before anybody will vote for it. I know, again, it makes no sense for me. I can't see how the math would ever work. And so I'm going to be a no on both bills. And hopefully they other people feel that way too, and they just don't even get to the governor.
Okay, so let me ask you this. When I remember talking to Bob Sater, gosh, 30 years ago, when he was head of the chair of Assembly Judiciary, and he said, when you come out and say what your thought is, on a particular issue, he said it ends all the pressure. And at the time, he was talking about the abortion issue, and he was in favor of legalized abortions. But he said that stopped all the lobbyists coming to him because he had made his point clear. Does that stop all the lobbyists coming to you, or do you still get pressure saying?
No, they already know very strongly how I feel. And I did the same thing my first session in 2015 when we were going to, the commerce tax, and when the current Governor Sandoval at the time was trying to lobby the Republicans to get for that. And when they first met with me, I said, listen, I'm a hard no on this. You don't have to waste your time on me. And they never came back to lobby him again. So, I mean, I think that's the reality for me. I'm a hard no. And as I use the term, it's not just my line's not in the sand, my line's in the cement. And there's a lot of things that out there that I feel really strong about. If, you know, if it makes sense for Clark County folks, if it makes sense for them on a fiscal note and they can justify it to their constituents, they're going to do what they need to do. I would never be able to justify it to my constituents.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back more with Dr. Robin Titus. She's the State Senate Minority Leader, and we'll be back after this timeout.
Meet Nevada Health Link, Nevada's official health insurance marketplace. Your link to savings, selection, free assistance, and name brand health insurance, where 90% of enrollees lower the cost of their monthly premium. Everyone deserves access to quality health coverage, no matter your income or family size. Visit NevadaHealthLink.com. A few minutes could save you hundreds of dollars per month.
Nevada Health Link, our plans are made for your plans.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
The trucking industry is the most resilient link in the supply chain, moving 95% of our freight in the Silver State. And while essential, the road isn't always smooth. Supply chain disruptions, rising fuel costs, and unrealistic rules and laws that hamper our ability to serve our customers and country. Our prosperity and every sector of the economy, manufacturing, mining, medicine, and food from farm to table, is tied to trucks. There's nothing without trucking.
A power line is more than a power line. It's maintaining the bottom line for small businesses. It's keeping the assembly line moving for our workforce. For our brightest minds, it's meeting a deadline. It's on the front line with our heroes. And on the sidelines of the biggest games. It's a direct line to our loved ones. And it's a lifeline for the most vulnerable. There's a lot on the line.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Dr. Robin Titus. She's the State Senate Minority Leader. One of the things that's concerning is that we've seen a lot of reports, especially in northern Nevada, about food banks running out of food. And it's not just in Reno Sparks, it's across the state. What are your concerns and what are the obligations of the state government to do something about that?
I think it's really important that nobody in Nevada goes hungry. And to that end, I've actually been out to the food bank in northern Nevada. I've spoken there. I think it's really important that they have access to food. I don't really know. It's a projection that they might run out of food. fresh food would be really nice. I love the whole concept of farm to table. And we want to make sure that those things are accessible. I don't like food waste. I talk to some of the school lunch programs. We look at what's being wasted. And I have some concerns there. But nobody should go hungry in the state of Nevada. We need to make sure that that continues to go forward. We have a wonderful, wonderful nonprofits that help in that realm. And I haven't seen any data that shelves are empty. Certain products maybe, but nobody should go hungry.
Okay, but are there any discussions within the legislature about shoring up any of these programs?
Frankly, I have not had any discussions. I have not had, I haven't heard any major alarms being sent out. I think there is monies that we have to do that if indeed there's a real issue for that. So, boy, before I'd say this again, the sky is falling, I'd have to really be sure that the shelves are empty.
There's been discussion about tapping into the rainy day fund to make up for the shortfalls. I'm figuring that you're probably a big no on that.
Well, I don't think we have to do that. We have an incredible large amount of money in our rainy day fund, as well as our education stabilization fund. And there's a rainy day fund for a while. If we have a $160 million budget shortfall, which is pretty much, we've already found a lot of other places to make this up. So about $160 million. We wouldn't have to tap a rainy day fund. All we would have to do is not put any more money, because we're almost at the ceiling. We have it's very specific, but a very convoluted kind of math on how we figure what we put in the rainy day fund, certain percent of what we spend, and then we have to have some leftover, but we can only have so much. We are already almost at the ceiling of what we can put into our rainy day fund. All we do is not make that transfer this time. That will cover our budget.
Really?
Yes.
Do you know what that dollar amount is?
Well, it's probably about $220 million. So if we don't put that in this time, we don't have to tap into there. So you wouldn't want to tap into your savings account if you just don't have to put any more into it. So think about that math.
Is the state treasurer on board with that?
I have not had a conversation with the state treasurer, but it's not about the state treasurer that makes those decisions. That's something the state legislature could do.
All right, let's take another break. We'll be back with State Senator Dr. Robin Titus after this timeout.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org. Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
It happens. And when it does, there's UMC Quick Care.
All hail the $200,000 Cash is King giveaways at Carson Valley Inn. Weekly prize drawings including thousands in cash and free play. And two big grand prize giveaway events, each with a $15,000 cash winner guaranteed. Only at the Carson Valley Inn.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Dr. Robin Titus. She's the state Senate Minority Leader. So a lot of discussion, I'll put it politely, about the lands bill that Congressman Mark Amadei got through. And, you know, it's understandable from a political point of view, because as you well know, and maybe our viewers know as well, there's always two discussions. There's the public discussion, oh my goodness, this is terrible. And then there's the private discussion, which is where everything gets worked out. It seems to me that after years of not getting these lands bills passed, that everybody should be happy that something got done. And I mean, we're still not all the way there, but this reconciliation process, which Senator Reid, by the way, was the one that pushed forward, is actually going to be good, not just for Northern Nevada, but for Clark County as well.
Supply and demand is really the key to all of this. And we talk about affordable housing, we talk about expansion, our population's growing. I'm a rural Nevadan. I hate to see public land go into private land and then they can control whether we have access or not. But that's not the land we're talking about. Well, the land we're talking about is access for Washoe, who's going to be out of land, and Clark County, who's going to be out of land. And so as they need to grow, some sensible monitored growth, depending on whether we have the water to do so, the infrastructure to do so, I think it's critical. The only way I feel we're going to bring some of the housing costs down is to have more housing supply and demand. And so if that works to that end, I support that. And I think it's been a hard process to do. However, I think it's really important we continue to make sure that we have access to our public land, because that's one of the wonderful things that makes Nevada great.
But, you know, I'm sorry, I'm born and raised in London, England, so when I fly from Las Vegas to Reno and I see all that empty space out there, I don't worry that we don't have enough room for people to recreate.
Right. And that's...
I will now check my email that I'm sure is blowing up.
Well, no, I think you're right. And it's access to that land is what really makes Nevada so endearing, and enjoying our public lands. But again, we have to have homes too. People love it also. And I always say in Smith Valley, who I'd love if we never had another house built there, but we can't just put up no more people signs on both of our, you know, the three roads that come into Smith Valley. Because I love it, other people love it also. But controlled and organized growth, and making sure that we don't overuse our water, make sure that it's reasonable growth and monitored growth, and not destroying what we love all about it.
Let me ask you this now that you raise Smith Valley. Concerns in Smith Valley about the federal government's immigration policies right now? I mean, is there concern that they will lose workers?
Oh, no. No, we have, in Mason and Smith Valley, the guest worker program has always worked, and that they are monitored. They're wonderful ranching and farming families like the Perrys.
Huge companies.
Thousands of guest workers, and Perrys and the Snyders, they are so regulated. Their folks, they go down to certain communities in Mexico, folks come in, the government inspects them. It's a high, garlic and onions are very labor intensive crops. And they are so regulated, and they are all formally on a guest worker program. So they are not worried at all. So those are the kind of companies we want in Nevada that take care of their workers amazingly.
All right, so in our conversations before session and at the beginning of session, you had said that after Pete Goicoechea stepped down, that you were learning everything you possibly could about water. What are the water issues that are in front of you right now?
Well, I'll never learn as much as Pete Goicoechea did, and we just honored him on the Hall of Fame.
You just need to drive
there.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, the water laws are interesting. There's some water bills moving forward about acquisition of some of these water rights and retiring the water rights. I think those are really important. My issue is if you retire a water right, you can't then allow for sub-development. In other words, you can't put a domestic well. And that's one of my worries, that they retire these water rights and then some developer comes in and they allow him to put wells in. So that's not really retiring a water right. I think making sure that we all have the needed water infrastructure that we need is really important. So the water bills right now, there's one that we talked about, Diamond Valley, and it's this, we'll see where that is going. None of them really have come across where we're voting on them yet. There's still a lot of discussion on these water bills and natural resources. One of my frustrations in natural resources is always some of the freshman legislator, the majority that sit at our chairs, and they have a long learning curve to understand what the whole water issue is, like what a water district is. I had a bill one session, and I thought I was doing a great job with the bill and moving forward about a conservation district or water district, and an irrigation district. At the end of the hearing, one of the committee members asked what's an irrigation district? And I went, oh my goodness, there's a lot of education that has to happen. So right now, I think the bills are looking at retirement of water rights, making sure they're secure. I don't see any thing right now in front of my, you know, that I'm aware of that's gonna be a real danger to what I do, which is represent the farmers in rural Nevada. I think the Southern Nevada Water Authority is working hard to make sure that they have enough water for development. One of the frustrating things for me is they tell everybody to take the grass out. And now they want everybody to plant shade trees because now it's getting hot. I mean, some of this common sense, let's stop being silly about this stuff. Let's really see the overall picture of what's happening with this increasing heat. They want solar panels everywhere. Then they put these black things on top of a roof, and then it gets hotter on these roofs. It's like, let's have some sensible planning, and water would be one of the central components to that.
Yes, it's fascinating. The Southern Nevada Water Authority, even though the pipeline, in quotes, is dead from eastern Nevada down to southern Nevada, and yet the Southern Nevada Water Authority still owns all those ranches and are very good ranchers. They do
pretty
best
green
practices,
yeah,
and they're helping all the other ranches around, but they still own those water rights.
Yeah, it's interesting. We'll see how that all plays out. One of the things that we're looking at is a law about the best use, and we have to show beneficial use to the property. I think that's a smart thing. We don't want people wasting water because you have to use it or they take it away from you in 5 years. So some of that regulation needs to be reviewed, and we'll see where that all ends.
And that's where we have to leave it for today. I thank you always for taking the time out to do this. I know it's an extra hour's driving to get in here at 7 a.m., but we really appreciate it.
Always appreciate it. I love talking to you. I love Northern Nevada, but this really is a fight for the whole state that we're in right now. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator. And we'll be right back.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development. Building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. Tollsdevelopment.com.
Welcome to the Ahern Boutique Hotel, where luxury and warmth come together in the heart of Las Vegas.
We take pride in offering a one-of-a-kind experience for both locals and tourists.
Join us for handcrafted cocktails and an unforgettable experience.
Joel's Chop House, the perfect place to savor views of the Las Vegas Strip.
Satisfy your cravings at the Ahern Chocolate Shop.
No smoking, no resort fees, and the parking is always free. The Ahern Luxury Boutique Hotel is your home away from home.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room of the Nevada Builders Alliance. Coverage of the 2025 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, Workers' Comp, that works for you. NV Energy, proudly serving Nevada, providing electricity to 2.4 million electric customers. The Retail Association of Nevada, looking out for business. And by Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
Thanks for watching Nevada Newsmakers come to you from Carson City, from the headquarters of the Nevada Builders Alliance. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching.